Tonight is 5 November 03. We're in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression. And we're looking at why Christians experience it, why they do not need to. And we've come to the point in our study of why they do not need to. Do we have any prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay, let's just continue to be in prayer for one another. And let's begin tonight with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to our study. Let's pray. One of the most remarkable things that comes from our study, Heavenly Father, the most revealing, illuminating truths that we see is who and what you are in each of our studies. Brings us closer to an understanding and knowing of you. Last night, Heavenly Father, we saw that you're God who is totally antithetical to our basic flesh instinct of working to earn something. That's not what kind of God you are. You're a God who deals with us in mercy, kindness, and grace, and love. And tonight, Heavenly Father, we're looking at Christians who suffer from the troubles of stress, anxiety, and depression, and why they do not need to, because you're the kind of God that has provided everything necessary for the Christian not to suffer. So I pray, Father, that tonight we'll be guided in putting these things together, that we can see what a wonderful God you are. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. What we're looking at is people experience stress, anxiety, and depression because we live in the cosmic system. We live under Satan's law, Satan's lie, the law system, performance trap, looking at others, dealing with what I ought to be receiving. And all of this is going to result in living under the law, can result in stress and depression. Whereas if we live in who we are in Christ, while we are in the world here, if we live who we are in Christ, we do not need to experience stress and depression. And what we're looking at are the things that we are in Jesus Christ. All the way through the study we said, if you will be who you are in Christ, know who you are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, and live who you are in Christ, you'll see that stress and depression, these things go into the shadows of your life and are non-existent any longer. And we noted that under this, that we're not condemned. You are justified not by performance, of our performance, but by Christ. The flesh nature is not made better, but it is crucified, and all of its basic instincts are crucified, and you're raised up a new person in Christ, a new spiritual creation. You are redeemed, reconciled by God to God. Both of those prepositional phrases are important. By God to God. You are propitiated before God. All your sins are taken care of at the cross, past, present, and future. You are forgiven in Christ. In Jesus Christ, you are brought near to God, a very important one for those who experience stress and depression. In Jesus Christ, you are an heir, an adopted child of God, not by your performance. In Christ, God has a plan for your life, to the very end of your life. You are a gift from God to His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You are acceptable to God. That's a very important one. You are acceptable to God, not based on your performance, but based upon who you are in Jesus Christ. You are acceptable to God. You are adopted as sons in Christ, heir of the family. You are a member of the kingdom of God, kingdom of light. As a member of this heavenly kingdom, you are a royal priest, not based on performance. At your status, state of existence, you are a royal priest. You, in Jesus Christ, you're part of a chosen generation. You are delivered from the powers of darkness. We spent some time on that one because that's very important to people who experience stress and depression. In Jesus Christ, you're free from the law, Satan's lie. You have access to God. And then last week we ended up with the final part, as 21, the 21st, the thing we studied was extremely important, but much more care of God. We noted much more of His love, grace, power, faithfulness, peace, comfort, and how He makes intercession for us. Tonight, let's begin with the 22nd one. We'll cover it rather briefly, but let's go through it. I want to come back to the effect of who you are in Christ in your daily lives, but let's look at a few other things that are permanently yours in Christ. That when you look in that mirror, as we've used as the analogy, the girl that has anorexia looks in and sees a very fat person, and she's not at all. And when you look in that mirror, here's what you want to see. Who and what you are in Christ. To give you comfort and encouragement as to why you should live. In Jesus Christ, you are His inheritance. That's precious. When you think of an inheritance, generally think of something valuable, something precious. Well, you are His inheritance. With that, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. If you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, let's take a look at this one. How y'all doing tonight? Let's see if we can find you a seat here. Now, if you 50 people over there would move. Point 22. I just went through 21 of them. No, the love. That was A under 21. Where have you been?
Well,
I got 22. Well, get 22 down now. We'll start with that. Okay. Number 22. You are His inheritance. Please look with me at Ephesians chapter 1, book of Ephesians by Paul, and we're going to look at chapter 1. And let's note verse 18. Verse 18, I pray. This is Paul. In a lot of Paul's writings, he will talk about his prayer, and there seems to be a lot of it in Ephesians. There's a lot of praying for them, and I hope that you are praying for one another. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, how does this enlightenment take place? This is very important. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Well, first of all, we start off by understanding that enlightenment is a work of the Holy Spirit. When we are in His power, He enlightens as to the truth of Scripture. So, two conditions. One, two conditions of this prayer being answered, of being enlightened, your heart being enlightened. One, power. You are in the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you in the power of the Holy Spirit? By faith in the Spirit, trusting Him to do what He has sent here to do. Secondly, studying Scripture. So there are two conditions. One, that you be enlightened. One, must be in the power of the Spirit. Secondly, in the Scriptures, under His illuminating power. Now look what happens. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's why sometimes you'll hear me pray that we will see what the Holy Spirit wants us to see and hear what He wants us to hear. This is the metaphor of where this comes from. Okay. So that you may know. First we know, then we believe, then we live. So that you may know what is the hope or the confidence of His calling. So when you're under stress and depression, this is what I want you to know. The confidence of His calling. What are the riches, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? People, you are His inheritance. We have seen that you are a gift from God to His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You are His inheritance. 23. This brings us to something else you should always keep in mind, and this one's very important. In Jesus Christ, you have an eternal inheritance. Now, point 22, you are His inheritance. Point 23, you have an eternal inheritance. You have an eternal inheritance. Now, for this one, if you will, please look with me at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's take a look at it. We haven't looked at Peter lately, so let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Wes. 1 Peter chapter 1. beautiful passage, but we're looking at just some certain things in it. So let's go. Let's go through it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed here means praised, worshipped. And I don't care what anyone says to you, what preachers may call you, what Job's three friends, in other words, if you have friends like Job did, you can worship God the Father. I want you to know that right now, tonight, regardless of your state of stress, anxiety, and depression, you can worship God the Father. He is your Father. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now note what it says. Who according to His, God the Father, great mercy. Now mercy is not earned or deserved. People, I know when you feel distressed and depressed, you don't think you earn or deserve anything. And that's a wonderful place to be because before God, we do not earn or deserve anything. His great, 1 Peter 1:3, His great mercy has called, look what it's caused us, has caused us to be born again, regenerated, new birth, by spiritual, this is spiritual birth in Jesus Christ. Okay, to a living hope. You have been born again, regenerated to a living hope. What does that mean? Something that is effective in your life right now. Something that is effective in your life right now. If you walk, this is true, if you walk in that new man, you walk in the new man by faith. So, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that is from our old flesh nature, the flesh nature of sins and law, you are raised from that. Now, verse 4. Now remember, this is the born-again believer, born a new being. Now look what it says, to obtain. You're born this new being to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now let me tell you something. I want you to look at this. I want you to know, there is nothing that angels can do, fallen or elect. There's no disaster by you, no sins, no failures in your life, nothing that may have happened to you in your life that can take this inheritance away from you. Some preacher cannot take it away from you. You cannot lose it because of something you've done, your sins, what may have been happened to you when you were a little girl, when you were a little boy. This cannot be taken away from you. This is an inheritance you cannot lose. So verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, continuing, who, meaning you. You're the ones eternally protected here. You who are protected by the power of God, that's the Holy Spirit, through faith, not by your performance. Now, if you're listening to me, those of you that are hurting, listen to this series of stress, anxiety, and depression, I want you to just pay attention to what you just read. Look what it says now. You are protected. I know you don't feel protected. You've sinned, you failed, you've had things happen to you, your life isn't going the way you want it to. You are protected by the power of God. And there is no power greater than that power on earth. You are protected by the power of God. That's God the Holy Spirit. He's the power of God. Through faith, not by your performance, for a salvation to be revealed in the last time. People, sometimes some people look at the word for the salvation and all they think of is salvation one. This is what we studied some time ago under salvation three. For salvation one, your life, salvation or your eternal life. Salvation two is your experiential life. Salvation three is your promotion into heaven. Now, if you experience stress, anxiety, and depression, you become uncertain about the future. Well, God is taking care of that. And you may think, well, I'm going to have nothing. No, you've got an inheritance already set aside for you. This cannot be changed, people. It is yours. You have a rich inheritance in Jesus Christ, and it is yours eternally. Please do not become distressed over life. when you think about the inheritance that is waiting for you in heaven. Okay, let's go to point number 24. We're moving right along tonight. Number 24. One of the primary reasons why Christians, born-again believers, Christians suffer stress, anxiety, and depression, this is important now, so please listen, is because their realm of reality is this world. I want to say this kindly to you. If you're experiencing stress and depression, it's because your whole realm of reality is the current physical, material world that you live in. And since your life and your self-value is in this world, you live under the law. You live under the performance trap of Satan's lie that my self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me. So if right now you are experiencing stress and depression, just know something about yourself. You're living, your reality is this world, and your value of yourself is in this world, your performance. Filled with the basic instinct of man, which is performance and being rewarded if you do well or punished if you do not. And all of this leads to either arrogance because of our performance or guilt and shame for the failure of it. Now, point 24. In the realm of reality for the believer is heaven. The realm of your reality, of your existence, is not earth. You are heavenly citizens. Not of America, not of this earth. Quit trying to find your identity. Quit trying to find your happiness. Quit trying to find your self-value in being a citizen of this country. Find it in your heavenly citizenship. Take a look with me at Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. We've gone from Paul to the Apostle Peter and now back to Paul. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, I just wish that the study and the Spirit will take those of you who hurt and make these things real to you. All I can do is show them to you. But it's up to you if you'll live in them, experience it, and if you will, there'll be no stress and anxiety and depression. You've got to change your whole focus of what's important is what we're looking at. In this way, a heavenly citizenship. But let's see if I can give you an example of what we're dealing with here. I don't know. I could use different examples from my own life, but they wouldn't always fit with everyone. But remember way back, some of you, way back in high school, and if you were involved in things and your football team won or lost, and boy, it would just make you so happy if they won and so sad if they lost and all this. And then you go on after high school, sometimes college, sometimes you go on to work. 10 years later, you couldn't lose one minute of sleep if your high school football team won or lost, because you've changed your whole realm of existence. Your whole realm of existence is different. Maybe some of you are depressed and things, and you come out of a marriage or something, and yesterday the person you're married to, whatever they did or didn't do, would just cause such great agony, and today you don't even care what they do or don't do. Don't care at all. You've changed your whole focus of reality. What is real in my life? And that's what we're looking at here. You want to change the focus of what is your reality. So let's take a look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Powerful verse if you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression. For our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. People, I'm sorry, it's not on earth. Not in America. And even more profound than that, not in Texas. But in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. From which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's so much in this verse, but let's just stay with our orientation of our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. First of all, for our citizenship is in heaven. Right now, at this very moment, your citizenship is not on earth, but in heaven. So what does that mean? Now, some time ago in this study, I know I did it in this study, but it seems now is the time to at least bring it to remembrance of it again. When I was in the military, I was stationed in Germany. I lived in Germany. I lived on German soil. And so there I was. But my citizenship was a long way away in the United States of America. I had no car. I had no real wardrobe of clothing. And what went on in Germany, in Hanau and Frankfurt, the two cities I was related with since I was on a general staff, the politics, the schools, the sports, nothing affected me. I didn't know which soccer teams won or lost in the whole area of Frankfurt and Hanau. Had I been in America, I'd have been different. But it just didn't upset me. German politics did not upset me. I thought of myself not in terms of Germany. I thought of myself in terms of America, where my citizenship was. My bed was a narrow little cot. I had a drab green blanket. I did not have leopard design blanket. I did not have design sheets. I had army white issued sheets. I wore the same clothes virtually every day. I didn't have a fancy wardrobe to go pick out different slack shirts, shoes, all this. And you know what? None of that bothered me. It bothered the general if I didn't look good, but it didn't bother me that we had to dress a certain way. Certain clothes, same clothes, same green fatigues yesterday, same green fatigues today, but they had to be newly starched, freshly starched, and then sometimes you're in your greens, dresses, and all this type of thing. But it didn't bother me. This wasn't my reality. My reality of where I live is in America. So whether or not I had a car, whether or not I had dates, whether or not I had all of this stuff, it never bothered me. This isn't where I belong. It just wasn't the real issue. Now, I could go on with this, but I think you get the idea. Now, in our study, our citizenship as Christians is not here on earth. So why are we stressed and depressed? Because we don't have something. Because this isn't working out and that isn't working out. A stress and a depression and becoming so stressed out based on where we live. Our low finances. I had very low finances in Germany. Very low finances. But it never startled me or upset me. Same basic low pay. Same food. Didn't depress me. I had a mindset. Had a mindset. I'm over here. I do not belong here. I belong to, I'm an American citizen. I have been assigned here. Don't look for all your comforts and joys and things related to Germany. Enjoy it. Oh, I enjoyed it. Especially at Christmas time. Germany was, some of the little villages in Germany were things that I had not experienced growing up in the city of Houston. And they were just quaint little German towns and just looked so fantastic. But things that went on, people did not depress. That's what I'm trying to say here. We cannot allow finances, romance, the lack of achievement, all of these things that we look at that you're so upset and depressed about, that we relate to this cosmic system, to America, to the world today. This isn't where our citizenship is. You get a mindset. And my mindset was, I am a citizen of America in Germany. And for that period of time, boom, that's it. We get a mindset, I am a citizen of heaven, not here. Therefore, no stress, depression, all this stuff, dealing to the circumstances here. It's a mindset, people. This is not a mind game. This is a reality. That's why I'm covering it under point 24. This is reality. Who and what are you? You are not citizens of this world. Quit trying to find something in this world. So verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? We eagerly wait for a Savior. What does that mean? Well, just to cover it quickly. This is important. If you will see this, this is important. Every deliverance from God must be viewed as a form of salvation. And if you understand that, you understand then why faith becomes the great issue. Now look with me at Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2:19. We're in Philippians 3, but now I want you to turn on the same subject. If you will, turn with me to Philippians 2:19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. This is very important. It'll help you again to get this in perspective of where your citizenship is. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. Stop. Those of you that are suffering stress, anxiety, and depression, ever feel like you don't belong? Ever feel like you don't fit in? Yeah, right now you do. Feel like you're some kind of an alien or stranger, even in your own home, your own church, work. You just don't belong. See, most people who suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression feel this way. I really don't belong. My parents neither love nor care. My husband, my wife treat me like a stranger. God has withdrawn from me. My friends have pulled away. So you just sense that you're an alien. You're a stranger. And then the question arises in the middle of the night. Where do I belong? Where do I belong? In Charles Schulz's A Series of Peanuts, often every now and then he pulls out a little episode, and it's just generally, it's not one that's developed. A lot of his themes are developed, like camp and things, school. This one's not. It's just pulls it out. And there's Charlie Brown in the middle of the night, lying in bed. And so sometime in the middle of the night, and he'll ask a question, and then supposedly God or a voice will come down, and some really wild answer, and where do I belong? And you can just see in the Peanut series, not here, or something like that, coming back at him, at poor old Charlie Brown. But the question arises, where do I belong? If I could find where I belong, now listen, only those of you that heard will understand this. If I could find where I belong, I wouldn't be so depressed and sad. I just don't belong here. If I could find someone I belong with, someone who appreciates and there's something that's there, where do I belong? Okay. The Greek uses two different words here. The word for stranger and alien are two different words, and I think it's worth looking at a moment for those of you that heard. They're both, bear with me now, they're both predicates. Now, I point that out because a predicate is used to describe something about the subject, and you are that subject. Both are without the definite article. I call that an arthrosis. What does that mean? What does that do? That emphasizes the quality of existence. So, here are two words that describe you, and they emphasize the quality of how you may feel. Now, we have it with a negative here, but I'm going to use it as the way we feel here on earth. First, strangers. Okay, what does that deal with without getting involved in the Greek word? It means, the word stranger means not of the family. Not of the family, not of the people where you are. A stranger as from being from another place. not belonging where you are. Very important, right out of the lexicon, unknown and not understood. That's what a stranger is. Unknown, not understood. Ever feel like that in your stress, anxiety, and depression? Sure you have. Probably do. Well, we're getting ready to shift all of that. Look at that second word, alien. Second word is alien. Okay, let's take a look at that. Remember, it's a predicate. And describing something about you. It emphasizes a quality. Alien. This comes from the root to dwell. This comes from the Greek word, the Greek root to dwell. Now, this means one who temporarily dwells in a foreign country. One who temporarily dwells in a foreign country, alien. You are different from those around whom you live. Now, do you ever feel like these two words in your own life? Yeah. Well, God has some good news for you. Look what it says here in our passage now. You are no longer strangers or aliens. The people, you and I are a stranger. You and I are alien on this earth. We are strangers and we are aliens on this earth. But this verse describes where you are not a stranger, where you are not an alien. It describes where you and I belong. We don't belong here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Not here. This refers to you, no matter how you may feel in your own work, in your own home. God, in your own home, you feel like a stranger and an alien. I don't belong here. Describes that. Well, this is what God says. You are no longer a stranger or an alien in your heavenly citizenship. On earth, we are strangers. On earth, we are aliens. But in heaven, you are not a stranger. You are not an alien. But you are fellow, look what it says now, you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. That's who you are. Go back to your question. Who am I and where do I belong? Here's who you are, where you belong. You are a fellow citizen with the saints and are of God's household. I can't make you believe that. I cannot make you live there and therefore abolish the stress, anxiety, and depression from our existence on earth. I can show it to you. And if you'll believe it, the Holy Spirit can make it a reality to you, people. But look at this beautiful passage. You are no longer strangers and alien, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. If in stress, anxiety, and depression you feel like you're an alien or a stranger, guess what? You're living as a citizen down here. You're going to have to learn to live in your heavenly citizenship, not here. And how do you live here when your heavenly citizenship? How do I live here when my citizenship is from somewhere else? Okay, let me give you a silly example how you do that. We send men to the moon, and that's a big step, except when you consider how big the galaxy is. It's not very far, but we're proud of it. We've spent billions to do it, and so we've gotten up on the moon. Have you ever noticed when you're on the moon what the personnel have to wear that go to the moon? You have to wear this helmet of some form because they need to have oxygen. Why is that? Because they don't belong on the moon. Now, they're up there walking around and residing on it for a short while, but they don't belong there. And it's so obvious they don't belong there that they are second by second reminded of it by having this helmet with this oxygen. If they take that off, very quickly they're going to die. Now, I wished, in a way, I'm glad we don't, but just to make the point, wouldn't it be great, though, if you and I, as Christians, had to wear a helmet of the filling of the Spirit? And if we took off that helmet of the filling of the Spirit, even our flesh would start gasping. And so we put it back on. But see, what we can do, we can walk around down here on earth for years from heaven, where we're born, and not be in the power of the Spirit. We couldn't do that on the moon. We'd have to have an oxygen head on, some form of oxygen mask. So what I'm saying is, you and I need to learn to walk with that oxygen mask, which for you and for me is the power of the Holy Spirit. So how do you live here on earth in reference to your heavenly citizenship? Walking by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, parentheses, I have a word for all of you believers. Every one of you, whether you're suffering from stress, anxiety, depression or not. This is very important. Please look at this passage. Do you see it? Look at it. You are fellow citizens with saints and are of God's household. Why do you judge one another? Why do you not forgive? Why do you not restore? Why do you not run to that fellow citizen of that heavenly kingdom when you see them hurt, instead of running from them and judging and maligning them? Do you not know that that believer that you are pounding on, judging, is a citizen of your own home country, your heavenly kingdom? Of all the people that should be supportive and restoring and encouraging and not judging and maligning and not separating but restoring and encouraging are the Christian citizens. There are certain organizations that have an esprit de corps that I just so much wish Christians had. Just wish Christians had it. Now, a lot of you are on tapers from other places, and maybe you know schools that have it, but down here, Texas A&M and Aggie, wherever they are in the world. In fact, there's a one day of the year when they all get together. If they're in another country, what day is that? Huh? And what do they call it? Mustard. That's it. And they get together on purpose. And you can always call on Aggie if you're out somewhere and you know one's around. Marines have that. Marines just have an esprit de corps. And I've used the example, if a Marine comes across, a couple of Marines are walking down the street and they see another Marine in the gutter drunk and just looks terrible, boy, they get in that gutter and they get him out of there and get him back to the barracks. They want to help him. They don't approve of what he's doing. They don't like what he looks like down there. But they get down there and get him back. Christians, no. We want to, bring on a spotlight. Can we get some reporters down here? Look at this Christian down here. Look what they're doing. And we want everybody to know what this Christian's doing. That's what Christians do. Christians are notorious for shooting their own. One of their own has troubleshooting. We're one of the few organizations that have zero esprit de corps. And yet all through the scriptures, love one another, restore one another, help one another, serve one another. But Christians, no, we want to judge one another. But people, we're in a foreign country. Our citizenship is in heaven. And you see a Christian in stress and depression. Well, they deserve what they get. Well, they're losers. That's what I've heard a lot of Christians talk. Well, they've wronged people. Set ourselves up as judges, forgetting all about the fact they belong to our heavenly citizenship. And we're here to serve one another. People, why do you think there's so many commands and mandates and exhortations? Serve one another, love one another, which is the new commandment. All these kinds. People, we're in a foreign country and we're in a battle. Our citizenship isn't here. We're not home. Why don't Christians help one another? No. I got to protect my own purity. Like if you're helping somebody, you're going to hurt yourself. So it's a shame. But these Christians that are suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, these are not strangers to you. These are fellow citizens, and they're in a warfare, and they're hurting. And it's difficult to understand if you understand that yourself. Most Christians don't even understand that. One place, people, on planet Earth, one expects love, protection, encouragement. It's in your own home. Boy, when a husband is constantly on a wife constantly on a husband, parents constantly on the children, in the one place, makes life very tough. this causes a great deal of inner hurt. I expect it wouldn't walk out, but boy, I ought to be able to go home. Sometimes I use the example of a fighter in a ring. And you get out in the ring and you get just plastered by this guy who just keeps beating and beating and beating. He thinks your face is a punching bag. And the bell rings and you want to go over to your corner, and in your corner you want encouragement. They're gonna take your mouthpiece out. They're gonna give you some water. They're gonna give you some medical help, and they're gonna pull your trunk so you can breathe easier. And they're gonna do all these wonderful things, and they're gonna tell you you're doing okay, even though you know you're not. They're gonna tell you that you're doing okay. What happens when you go over to your corner and they start beating on you? I think I'll just go over to that corner over there. There's no one there, but I think I'll just go stand there. Because in my own corner is no place to be. That's the way many Christians treat one another. That's the way many Christians treat. And we're in the body of Christ. We're citizens of the same heavenly kingdom. So note the phrase, you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Now let me tell you something. Those of you that are suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, you should start becoming out of it. And now you're going to be ready to help others who going through what you've gone through. See, a lot of self-righteous Christians won't help other Christians who've experienced stress, anxiety, and depression for something you have. Jesus Christ told Peter. Peter did the worst thing you can do. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times, which means he just flatly denied who knew him. In fact, he did it cussing, using profanity. I do not know this person. Far worse than adultery, fornication, stealing, a lot of sins that offend people. Here was Peter saying, I don't even know him. I don't even know him. And Christ said, Peter, when your faith returns, go help other believers who suffer the same thing. Because there'll be other believers who'll do that too. It's a powerful thing. Please turn with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Truly a Bible class tonight. We've just gone all over the New Testament. Peter, Paul, and now the author of Hebrews. In fact, Hebrews 12, great chapter. Okay, verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. But you, this refers to you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this refers to you no matter how sad you may feel right now. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels. Okay, here's where you belong. People, this should be your mindset. What should be your mindset? Your mindset should be Mount Zion. Now, what is the mindset of most Christians? Mount Sinai, law. Mount Sinai is the mountain of performance. It's the mountain of law. It's the mountain of Satan's lie. This is where religious unbelievers go. This is where a multitude of religious believers live. They live on Mount Sinai. They don't live on Mount Zion. They were saved at Mount Zion, and then they go over and live on Mount Sinai. Those are two vividly pictured different mountains. You're saved on Mount Zion. People, stay on the mountain. Don't go over to Mount Sinai. Stay in faith in God's performance. People, you want to live on the mountain where you were saved, and that's Mount Zion. It's the place of rest. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the myriads of angels, to the general assembly, look what it says, and church of the firstborn, look what it says now, who are enrolled in heaven. Forget about accomplishments on earth. Forget about failures on earth. Live where you're enrolled. Live where you're enrolled. So many Christians perform so well and successful in the kingdom of the earth, but nothing in the kingdom of God. where the standard is simple faith. So many Christians live, and boy, they're so prosperous and so powerful in the kingdom of the world. They listen to all these speakers and these people that make you feel good about yourself and all this type of thing going on in our society today. And they do really well as far as the kingdom of the earth is concerned, but not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where you are enrolled in heaven. Is the standard is faith. Look what it says now. To the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, God the Father, the Judge of all, those of you who are hurting, because you are judged by Job's three friends, please be sure you get this. Man is not your judge. Don't let them become your judge, like Job's three friends. God is your judge. God knows your soul. God knows when you fail sin, but God knows when you come to Him by faith. Many Christians have a lot of trouble with why David was a man after God's own heart. David was a womanizer. David was a murderer. David just did so many things that would just horrify us. And God said, He's a man after my own heart. Why? Because David constantly came back. Not on the basis of performance, but on the basis of just trusting God. People, God knows when you come to Him by faith. And in this, you are living in your heavenly citizenship. When you and I come to Him by faith, we're returning to our heavenly citizenship where we belong with Him. Pleasing God. While other Christians are still judging, don't listen to them. Just stay with your heavenly kingdom. You might be alone. But I want to tell you something. It is better to be alone, living on Mount Zion, than to be among a lot of people and live on Mount Sinai. And look what it says. And to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. How are the righteous made perfect? Great question in Job. Great question in the Bible. How are the righteous made perfect? People, the righteous are made perfect by faith. The righteous live by faith. They're made righteous by faith. The righteous live by faith. It's by faith. Now, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, a better covenant. So one of grace. Like the Abrahamic covenant, the original covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Please don't live under the Mosaic covenant. Live under the new covenant. And to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. I want you to look at one more verse on your heavenly citizenship with me, if you will, please. Because when you're stressed, anxiety, and depression, you probably don't think that you think you do not have much to rejoice in. Because of the way you feel tonight, you don't have much to rejoice in. Please look at Luke. Let's go to one of the Gospels, Dr. Luke. Please look with me at Dr. Luke. Luke 10. Luke 10. Luke 10, 20. Oh, what a beautiful verse. You hurt tonight? You feel like there's just no hope, no anything? Nothing to be rejoiceful about? Well, I've given you 23. We're on the 24, so we're giving you 24 reasons to rejoice. But look at this one. Luke 10, 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. This deals with our authority in eternal. But here's what you want to rejoice in. But rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. You don't have anything to rejoice about tonight? No, yes you do. Oh, yes you do. Okay, maybe your name isn't written in the blue book here in the community you live in, and maybe your name isn't written among great people in the newspaper. And maybe the only time your name will ever be written anywhere is when you die and they put it in the obituary. Well, that's a heck of a price to get your name in the paper. Maybe your name isn't written, but look what it says. Here's where you want to rejoice. Rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. There was a movie a long time ago Steve Martin made called The Jerk. And it was one of the funniest scenes in the movie was he finally got his name in the phone book. But he didn't look at it just like you and I would among 5,000, 500,000 other names. There was his name. His name was in print. That got him in trouble. But his name was in print in the phone book. And he was so happy. People, here's something to rejoice in. Your name is in print in heaven. It is recorded in heaven. Forget your name, whether it's popular or not among men. Forget that. People, I'll tell you something about this. Names die and they fade. But your name is recorded in heavenly, in your heavenly citizenship forever. Rejoice in that. So when you're really sad, you want something to rejoice in, you can just rejoice in this. Your name is recorded in heaven. Now, I can't make you do that. I can't even make you happy about that. You may be so occupied with the world and your circumstances and what you have and don't have that this doesn't mean anything to you. And I'm sorry if it doesn't. I really am. But I want to tell you what, if you'll just sit down a few minutes and work your way through faith into the Holy Spirit. He's going to just concentrate on this verse a while and let Him bring out the reality. Your name is recorded in heaven forever. You will rejoice in that. Remember where you're from. Remember where you're going. This is where we're from, our heavenly citizenship. This is where we're going. My analogy, I was in Germany. The back of your mind when you're stationed overseas, in the back of your mind, no matter how well you perform in your time, back of your mind is, there's a date you're going to go home. There's a date. And there's something about it when you start getting closer to it. And you start getting within 6 months, and in 5 months, and 4 months, and 3 months, and 2 months, you're going to go home. You're going to go where you belong. It's where you're from, and it's where you're going to go. People, you and I are from heaven. This is where we're born. When we die, this is where we're going to go. Rejoice in this. Rejoice in where you're from. Rejoice in where you go. So now you have something to rejoice in. So that brings us to number 25, and we will begin here next Wednesday evening. And getting into near the end of this, which I regret, because I've enjoyed this study, but I think it's made some people sad that how long it's taken. But I've rejoiced in it, and I know that it's helped a lot because of the email. But we're getting close to the end, but we'll resume here next Wednesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, what manner of God you are is overwhelming to our souls and our minds, because, Father, sometimes Christians hurt so much and feel so low. And other Christians come and kick their mother down. What kind of God are you? You come down and you reach down with your hand of love and mercy and grace. And you pick them up. I pray these tapes will get into the hands, or the internet will get into the awareness of people who will listen. And let the Holy Spirit open their eyes and their ears to these things. And they will see there's just no reason for stress, anxiety, and depression related to this earth. This is Satan's kingdom of darkness. Let's quit trying to be somebody in it and find our true value in who we are in our heavenly citizenship. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.